It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 310, and I am your host, Adam Angham. In this week's episode, Matt and I discuss the loss to Pacific and what it means to BYU's dwindling tournament chances. What has happened to Tyler Haws, and how can the Cougars avoid another loss to a lesser WCC team? Also on the show, Don's fantasy football team, and a way too early prediction of the 2018 football schedule. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Find this podcast and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to Matt and I yap right now. There's something that our brother Don wants to talk about. And I think we'll just open with and get this done with. Can we just be done with it? So he stops asking this question on Twitter every week.
It's actually kind of fun to have him keep asking it and just ignore it. But we can go this route, too, if you prefer.
All right, let's go this route. And so our first tweet bag question of the day.
Tweet bag.
But before we get to that, you know, our other hashtag besides tweet bag is hashtag climb on in. Okay. So Todd Ebert on Facebook.
I promised I was going to stop doing that.
Well, that's what he's asking about. What's creepier, Pennywise inviting kids into the sewer or Matt whispering, climb on in?
I'll be honest. They've both given me nightmares in the past couple of weeks.
I think it's a toss-up. We'll call it a push.
When the previews were out for the new It.
Yes.
I run in the morning a lot. And the first morning after I saw one of those previews, I'm out there, you know, it's 4:45 in the morning or something silly. I couldn't go near any of the drainage, whatever you call them, whatever those things that he's hiding in. I couldn't go near any of them. And had I been coming down the road and seen a red balloon at any point, I would have packed it in. I probably would have hurt myself.
That's absolutely fantastic. I believe this is a little known fact about those movies, but the Utah basketball coach, He Who Shall Not Be Named, actually stars in those movies. I don't know if you knew that.
What, he's a big red balloon just full of hot air? But
no, I was going to say
hashtag dad joke.
They didn't have to do the makeup.
Oh, put him in the sewer. I feel like that's just mean. That's mean spirited what you just did.
Yep. Yes, it is. It is 100% mean spirited.
Dangerous. It's dangerous.
Well, you know. All right. So the balloon joke was better. Your dad joke was better than mine. All right. So this is what Don, our brother Don, says. Now that college football is over, as well as the regular season for pro football, what are your reflections on your brother's victory in your fantasy league? I don't have any reflections, haven't thought once about it, except when my brother likes to congratulate himself on Twitter. That's
repeatedly.
The only time I've ever thought about it.
Repeatedly. But you know what? You know what? And I'm just going to throw this out there because I think this is really what Don wants to hear me say. Don won the league because he led in one important statistical category. It was not that he led in points scored, because he didn't. But he had the fewest points scored against him accumulatively among all of the teams in our league. So guess what, folks? He led the league in luck. And that is what brought him home the championship. There you go, Don. There you go.
I don't think this is what he was looking for.
No, I believe that it is, because we had this conversation.
Oh, okay. So this is what he was somehow looking for.
I don't know why, but yes.
Interesting.
But let it be known that he did have the fewest points scored against him of any of the teams. Like that helps.
Yeah, that's something. That's important. That's important. So Matt, let's move on to things that actually matter. All right? Let's go to CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
By the way, okay?
I didn't think I was going to get that one out because I'm trying not to laugh right now.
I have started watching Star Trek Discovery.
Okay. Of course you have.
Now a couple things about this.
Why did it wait till now?
Well, I've been watching other things. I've been watching Orville. Kathleen and I just finished the first season, and we're now into season two of The Man in the High Castle.
You're making it worse.
I'm not making it worse.
Sorry, I haven't been caught up in my Star Trek Discovery. I've been watching all of these other very nerdy things.
That's right. That's not making it worse. That's making it better, you jackrabbit.
It's all a matter of perspective, I guess.
So I'm watching this show, and every time...
Hey, pocket protectors.
Pocket protectors. Hey, 1997 called. They'd like their joke back. Pocket protectors.
Come on. If anybody who was making jokes about pocket protectors in 97 was way behind the times. That's easily like a 93-94 joke.
Okay, fine. I got the year wrong. But anyway, Klingons are featured prominently in the show. And every time the Klingons come on, in my head I think, I wonder if Don was able to baptize any of those Klingons during his mission. It gets me.
His love for the Klingons runs deep.
It runs deep. So
it's not uncommon, which is not uncommon.
No, it's not.
To feel that way about the people among whom you served.
Yes, yes. So I will say this. To watch that show, you have to pay CBS every month for their CBS All Access.
And worth every penny.
Then you have to watch commercials.
That's senseless.
So I'm not.
Did nobody explain to them how this works?
I don't think they get it. Like, they have regular commercial breaks, like you're on broadcast television. Like, I don't know, CBS.
But that's what DirecTV and cable do the same thing to you.
Yes, except. Yeah, that's a good point. I got nothing. I can't defend either of those idiots. All right.
No.
Matt, the Cougar fan, get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Matt, did you know that McKay Cannon's wife is a top-notch athlete?
I did not know this until today. I'm actually fascinated by this development.
So obviously there's the Collinsworths that we knew all about. And McKay's wife, Maddie, is... they met as freshmen at Weber State at a athlete kickoff party. I don't even know what that means, but okay.
I think the answer is in the question. I don't know what's confusing. It's a kickoff party for athletes.
So they just get together, all of the athletes.
Welcome to school. Here we get all the athletes together. Sure.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
Probably hosted by the athletic department.
And their fathers played basketball together at Rick's.
That part is crazy.
You know, so anyway, they both have walked on, and she runs cross country, and obviously he walked down on the basketball team. So there you go. The latest. Next,
she also runs steeplechase, and they both walked away. This is the part that was fascinating to me, is they both walked away from scholarships in their sports to transfer to BYU.
Crazy,
Yeah, this is it's where they wanted to be, right? So they met at this kickoff party, decided to got married in pretty short order, and the next fall they're transferring, going to another school where they don't even have scholarships. You know, that's pretty cool. It's a cool story.
Let's move on to something else. Matt, were you aware that there's something called the National Basketball League of Canada, the NBLC?
Was not aware, but I'm not surprised.
And did you know that we're going to have a former Cougar playing in it?
I had heard a rumor to this effect.
So we have, this was reported, at least the first I saw was in the Deseret News, so I'm apologize if it wasn't the actual. He will be joining the St. John's Edge. And they play in the team. Their first game is tonight against the Windsor Express. I had not even heard of this league, but there you go.
Or I'm not sure I'm familiar with either of these towns. I'm only familiar with like the five big cities in Canada.
Windsor, Ontario, I believe. I don't know where St. John's is.
Ontario's not one of those big five cities.
Ontario's a province, you ninny. Hey, did you miss my...
Just kidding. I didn't even know they had provinces. Isn't it all just one state? But I'm bummed. Okay.
Oh, boy. So did you see my tweet about... And I never got any response out of BYU Sports Nation or a friend of the podcast, Greg Rebell. BYU Sports Nation said this was right before New Year's. They had Rebell on the show. And they said, next up, it's our favorite Canadian, Greg Rebell. And my response was top five for me, but above Bryan Adams and Canadian Bacon, I couldn't do it. Couldn't put Greg above Bryan Adams or Canadian Bacon. Or maybe Bare Naked Ladies. The band,
I appreciate the clarification. Yeah, there are two times where I feel like it's been really important to clarify the difference there. One is on this podcast. The other one was the time that our younger brother was talking to our parents in high school about buying a ticket to go see Bare Naked Ladies.
Yes, I do.
Anyway.
I do remember that.
Since that time, we just referred to them as B&L in the house.
Yes.
But I could take Greg Rubel over Canadian Bacon pretty easily. Not a huge... It's just ham. It's just
Stop it. It's not just ham. It's Canadian Bacon. It's totally different.
Oh, he beats Canadian Bacon without a problem. Listen.
Summer Bryan of 69? Everything I do it for you?
Yeah, I'm still taking Greg Rubel.
Wow. Wow, you hate Canada. You hate Bryan Adams. You hate maple syrup.
Whoa. I'm going to have to take exception with the maple syrup.
Would you take... Who would you take?
But maple syrup, I don't associate with Canada. Maple syrup, I associate with Vermont.
Oh.
Sorry.
Canada, you hate Canada. We have... Your dislike of Canada is well documented.
I'm not going to argue with you on this.
I don't know. This is a disturbing revelation.
I just feel like Canada should be regarded the same as any other state.
Fair enough. All right, Matt.
I don't know why it doesn't get a star, but whatever.
So we've been avoiding this and talking about ridiculous things. Let's talk about men's basketball. So this was what we were hoping they would avoid, Matt, which is the loss to a conference team they shouldn't lose to. So last year, I think BYU was not as good of a team as they are this year. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's probably fair.
So I thought they were a little bit up from where they were last year. I really thought if we lost this year, it was going to be to San Diego and or San Francisco. I didn't think we'd lose to the Pacifics of the world, though, you know, they're a step above Pepperdine and Santa Clara, who we're going to face off against this week. But that being said, I didn't want this to happen. But yet, here we are again. After this great start, they've lost two of three games, one of them to a really good team, one of them to a not good team. And so let's get into that for a second. Gary Payne at FastBreakGP on Twitter says, "How soon do NIT tickets become available? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag painbag." Matt, is that our destiny right now, NIT?
Yes.
Spencer Linton, friend of the podcast, been on the podcast and BYU Sports Nation fame, got kind of on BYU fans after the loss on Twitter saying, "Hey, guys, we've still got a shot here at the tournament." And I believe he's right. It's called winning the WCC tournament. That's our shot.
Like, so you're saying there's a chance. That's what that feels like.
I guess.
Well, what are the odds? What are the odds of a girl like me and a guy like you getting together? About one in a million. So you're saying there's a chance. That is exactly what you just laid out. It was almost that exact scenario, just in different words.
That one's for a Ferrari. I'd hold on to that.
Their IOUs, they're as good as money.
That's right, they are.
Speaking of Canadians.
So I think if you run the table from here on out, beat Gonzaga twice, beat St. Mary's, and don't lose another game, he's probably right. You're probably in, right? I mean, you would be a, four-loss team heading into the conference tournament. I don't know if you have to win the conference tournament at that point.
No, if you split with Gonzaga and St. Mary's, yeah. You can't drop another one of these.
You can't drop another one.
Top three games in the conference. You cannot do that again. So it's tough to have that happen so early in the season.
Yes, because now you are, and against Pacific, right?
Right. Like your margin of error now is tiny.
If it had been San Francisco, I feel better today because I think your resume takes less of a hit than it does against Pacific. If it had happened against San Diego, who turns out they might be a decent team this year, right? On the road especially. So that San Diego game on the road, though, isn't until towards the end of the season. Again, I don't feel like it takes a massive hit. Pacific's not above 500, right? They're not a good team. Like, people are trying to spend this. Well, they're in the upper half of the Mountain West Conference. I mean, the Mountain West. West Coast Conference. So what? Right? Like, there's only five teams that count this year. San Francisco and San Diego being the other two. Right? So you can't lose to the other ones. You just can't. You have to win. You have to beat them.
Just win, baby.
So specific questions. We've got one from Justin Sweeney. That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. He says, what on earth happened to Haas and Seljaas' shots? Haas is a shell of himself out there. I'm a shooter shoot themselves out of slump guy, but not sure fans or Rose are being patient enough. I don't know what happened to him. I have no explanation for what's going on. And I'll tell you what, it's gotten bad in conference play.
It's the aliens.
It's the aliens?
From Space Jam.
Oh my gosh, where are you right now?
Did you see the movie Space Jam?
I haven't seen the movie Space Jam. Everyone's seen the movie Space Jam.
Remember they stole the skills?
Yes, I know the premise. I just don't know what we're doing today. Like, we're everywhere today.
That's what's happened to Haas and Seljaas. So I blame the aliens from Space Jam.
All right, good for
and
you.
And partially Sean Bradley for being a part of making that movie.
the fact that Sean Bradley is in that movie keeps the comedy level, especially in retrospect, very high. I'm just saying. Let me tell you this. Four games in conference play, Yoeli Childs has three made three-pointers. Combined, TJ Haas and Zach Seljaas have two. Okay? Like, oh. I can't even make this stuff up. Can't even make it up. Right? Like, he's 2 of 9, TJ Haas is. Now, to be fair, Seljaas' minutes have been drastically reduced in conference play. Right? He's averaging, 13 minutes a game in conference play. He was averaging, on the year he's averaging 22. So, I mean, he has shot himself and played himself out of minutes, right? That's fair, right?
Yep.
But if you look at conference play and you look at who's played well in these four games, Matt, the list is really small. It's two. Bryant and Childs. Everybody else has played worse statistically than they played in non-conference play. That's not good.
It's weird.
We are headed in the wrong direction. So Corey on Twitter, that's at CoreyBlue1992. I'm not trying to rhyme. That's just what happens. Some of the time. Oh, gosh.
Anyway, I had a better one, but just roll with it.
All right. We'll keep moving. Anyway, if you want to climb on in this absolute disaster of a show, you can do that on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout, or you can do it through old-fashioned email, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Corey says, I've wondered the same thing. He actually was responding to Justin's comment. Haas looks like he is playing with zero heart and zero passion. His body language is so telling. You know me, Matt. I'm not a big fan of trying to read body language because I think it's fraught with potential, biases. But I will tell you what. I have to agree with Corey on this. I don't know about the zero passion and zero heart piece. His body language is not good, though.
The body language seems to I would use words like looks lost,
lacks confidence.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily heart or passion. I'm not. That's like one of the last things I try and question about these players, right? But there is definitely something visible happening there with the body language. There is a negative message there.
Yeah, and he is not taking shots that he would have taken a year ago.
Correct.
And this is the second year in a row we're seeing this in that, Emery had a drop off his sophomore year. Haas is having a drop off. The sophomore slump, I don't know if it's a real thing statistically, but it definitely is a real thing for individuals, right? That sometimes people don't progress that second year like we think they're going to progress, and Haas is in that boat. Celius is a different matter. He's fallen. Like, I mean, Haas is still providing some value in other aspects of the game. Celius just has fallen off the planet. I can't explain it. So Sweeney has a follow-up here. Related, he says, Hartnett stops flow of the offense when he passes up wide-open threes. Ball gets swung to him, and he refuses to take and make the three. Can he keep his playing time this way? Also, why didn't Dastrup play more? We needed size versus their seven-footer and someone willing to shoot threes with confidence. So if you look at Jashire Hartnett so far this year, Matt, I have to say he hasn't been as good as I thought he would be. He's been okay, but I was hoping he would be one of our top five players so far this year, and he has not been one of our top five players. But if you look at his 3-point shooting percentage, I think it comes down to the numbers. I mean, he is shooting 30% from the 3-point line, and he doesn't really shoot many.
No, and if you look across the board, he's not taking very many shots.
He's 6-for-20 on the year, right? And he doesn't, like you said, he's not even taking a lot of 2-pointers either.
Right.
He's actually taken only one more 2-pointer than he has 3-pointers. Though he's got, you know, he's got a much higher percentage. He's shooting 53% on 2-pointers. And the other part is, I like his game in that, I mean, he shoots a high percentage from the free throw line. He hasn't gotten the line a ton. But I feel like if he's handling the ball in a crucial moment and has to go to the line, I feel pretty good about him shooting a free throw, right? Not as good as I feel about, say, Haas or Bryant. You know, he'd be my third choice at the end of the game. Maybe fourth. Maybe McKay Cannon would be my third choice. But I don't know. I don't know if Sweeney's right on this one in that I don't know if we want him shooting the wide open three or not. I get what you're saying, but I just don't think that's who this guy is. But I will say, I don't know if he keeps the kind of playing time he has now. What do you think? I mean, he's getting 27 minutes a game. I don't know who takes it from him either.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because I feel like everybody's struggling from the same thing after conference play started. So I don't know who you put out there instead.
I don't know either, because right now you're not going to put Celius out there, right? I mean, but nope. Hartnett and his right now, it's the four guys: Bryant, Childs, Haas, and Hartnett are each getting more than 30 minutes a game, and then nobody else since conference play started. Nobody else is over 20, right? And to be fair, I mean, I think Dastrup should be playing more, but he has not played great the last couple of games in limited minutes. But the other part is Worthington's playing pretty well. Like, it's not as if, like I'm saying, Worthington is not the biggest problem we're having right now. Our biggest problem is Haas is not playing well. That's our biggest problem. It's Haas isn't making shots. And the offense, remember at the beginning of the year when we were talking about how the advanced statistics love the offense and the defense look like crap? That has completely reversed itself. I mean, the defense is now rated higher than the offense. The offense has been terrible lately. Very bad. I mean, you should be able to score more than 66 points against Pacific.
Right. So, but what explains the drop? I still don't know that I...
We're not making shots. Nobody can score the basketball except for Bryant and Childs. And you have to have... You cannot live off two guys in basketball. You can't. You have to have a third and a fourth scorer. And right now we don't have one. And I think what people are saying is, well, if Dastrup played more, he might be that guy. And maybe that's true. Because obviously he hasn't gotten as many minutes as I think a lot of us would want him to get. I think he should be getting 25 minutes a game. I think sometimes you're better off having him and Childs. I think your best lineup, quite frankly, is if you look at, you know, at the end of the game, who do I want on the floor? I think I want Dastrup, Bryant, Childs, Haas. How many people did I just say?
Only five at a time is kind of the standard.
Dastrup, Bryant, Childs, Haas, and I think you want McKay Cannon. Now, right now, that's not who's finishing games, right? They're going with a smaller lineup, and you're seeing Hartnett play a lot at the end of the games.
Hartnett's numbers, his minutes have gone up since we got into conference play. But so Dastrup's have, but just barely.
Just barely. I don't understand. As well as Dastrup has played this year, I quite frankly am a little... I don't know how to explain his playing time.
Selyus's playing time has dropped, I mean, not quite in half, but...
A bunch.
By 40%. Looking at a number here. I didn't actually do any math on that. But, I mean, significantly.
Here's the thing with Selyus, okay? If he's not filling it up, then he's not, that's his value, right? He's not a good defensive player, right? So he doesn't add a lot of other stuff. He's not a great rebounder. He's a decent passer, but I mean, he's really not, I don't want to say a one trick pony because that's unfair to him. He's got more than that. But if he's not hitting three pointers, you can't have him out there, right? Right? I mean.
Yeah, if he's not hitting those.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't.
But he hasn't even taken very many. We're talking about less than one a game.
That's true now, right? I mean, that's true.
I'm just talking about in conference games.
Yeah, in conference games. But coming, I mean, on the year, he's shot on total 3-point field goals, 3-point attempts. He's third on the team, right? He's had 52. But like you said, it is. Because his minutes has dropped off, and also he's just not shooting, right? Like, he'll get the ball. You talk about Hartnett passing up. Selyus, in the last 4 or 5 games, has passed up open threes. And he never passed up an open three before, right? I don't think maybe in his life. I don't know. I don't know how you fix that with these shooters. As Sweeney says, maybe you just got to keep them putting them out there and hoping they right the ship, but... I don't know. I don't know about that. A couple other questions on the basketball team. Travis Brewer, and this goes now, let's look forward-looking, Matt. Well, the bad loss for the B-ball team came, and this was off of Facebook from Travis, sooner than I had hoped, just like you and I said. It feels like they might have a couple more. Do you agree, Matt? I think they've got a couple more.
I think there's one more.
Are we destined for the NIT, or can we pull off something miraculous? We kind of already answered that one. I think we're likely.
We're saying there's a chance.
There is, quite frankly. I think this team could win the conference tournament. I think it's not a good chance that they win the conference tournament, but I think there is a decent non-zero chance. Chase Blyle on Twitter, that's at Chase Blyle, says, rough showing at Pacific on Saturday. What is it going to take for BYU to stop dropping the easy ones? Matt, hashtag tweetback, hashtag climb on in. What is your formula for BYU not dropping any more of these games against the lesser WCC foes?
I don't know. I feel like I wish there was something clever I could do with the phrase stop dropping and roll. But maybe there is. You know, I think what they've got to do is... They've got to get out of. I wonder if there is still that expectation even among the players, like that, you know, they see themselves as kind of in that tier of teams, and sometimes you play to your competition. And I think we've had that conversation over the past couple of years. Part of it is they need to get through one of these seasons where they don't do it, so they can prove to themselves that they don't have to be that team.
I think there's a natural tendency to, and I'm not bagging on Spencer Linton, but I think there's a natural tendency to say, hey, you know what? You're just going to lose one or two of these games, right? And then, unfortunately, it ends up becoming 3 or 4, right? And that's the problem. The expectation should be we don't lose any of these games against these teams, right? And last year you had the loss to Pepperdine. You had the loss to Santa Clara. You had the loss to San Diego. You had the loss to did we lose to? I said Santa Clara and San Diego. You're getting to this point where we're dropping 3 to 4 of these games, and unfortunately, if we want to play in the NCAA tournament, we can't do that. I would say this, Matt. I think the formula is simple. TJ Haas just has to play better, and I think he will. Now, that doesn't mean we won't drop any more, but that's the formula. I mean, Bryant and Childs are playing about as well as you could expect, right? And they're playing...
Yeah, the drop for them has not been what we're seeing on the rest of the roster.
Correct, correct. So I don't know that you can ask them to play better. Maybe a little, and maybe they need to play a little better. But really what you're talking about is that. The other part is, and I haven't seen any updates on this, it would really, really nice. Dalton Nixon had played really well before he got hurt in a bench role. But it would be really nice from a depth perspective if we got Nixon back. That could be another way to help this. And then somebody besides Bryant, Childs, and Haas will also need to step up and start playing a lot better. I don't know if that's McKay Cannon. I don't know if that's the aforementioned Peyton Dastrup getting more minutes. I don't know if it's somebody that's not playing a whole lot right now, right? I don't know if it's, Evan Troy's gotten in some junk time lately, but played a total of, 8 minutes? I don't know who that player is. It's probably not Troy. It's probably going to have to be Worthington, Cannon, Dastrup, or even Hartnett playing significantly better, right? And that's what I think. That's what keeps us out. If we play at the level we're playing currently, it's going to be three. We're gonna have three of these by the end of the year.
Well, that's encouraging.
It just is what it is. I mean, Matt. Next up on the roster are Pepperdine at home Thursday night at Santa Clara. We win both of these. Those teams are really bad. So. I think next week we're back talking about two more wins and then about what's coming after that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think. Of course I'm right. Aren't I always right?
Nope.
What? I'm not always right? And then, of course.
I think you picked Georgia, so no, you're not always right.
No, I didn't. I only picked Georgia if Tua, whatever his last name is, was not playing quarterback. If you had told me he was coming in the second half, I'd pick Bama.
Oh, okay.
You just can't. I mean, Saban needed to let us know that.
Yeah, because that was the thing. That was the thing that people saw coming.
I saw it coming. I definitely saw it coming. So Matt, we'll get to the college football playoff here in a minute. Let's talk about football for a second, and BYU football before we get to the college football playoff. Randy Whittle on Facebook has a question for us on football. Here's a way too early football question for the 2018 season. Randy, there are no way too early football questions.
No such thing.
Not on this podcast. We talk football 24/7, 365 around here. By the way, I miss college football already. It ended last night, and I miss it.
I got home today from work, and I was like,
no more college football.
College football's over.
Yeah, my wife threw a party actually about it, but I didn't.
You know what my wife said to me the other day? She said, you know, Matt, I'm really looking forward to the Super Bowl. And I said, there you go. You're catching the spirit. You're hoping the Pats are going to make it into the Super Bowl? She said, no, because once the Super Bowl's over, then you're really done with football.
Yeah, at least for a few months. So Randy's question. Sad
you would say that.
What do you think our record will be against four Pac-12 games, Washington, Arizona, Cal, and Utah? In the upcoming season, and how would you rank them from best to worst? So, Matt, let's do it opposite of order of what Randy said. Of those four Pac-12 teams, who is the best team? Washington, right?
It's Washington.
Okay, so that's easy. We both agree. Who's next?
I don't think that one's very hard.
Okay.
It's Cal.
No, I think it's going to be Utah.
Oh, jeez.
I think Utah's next, and then Cal, and then Arizona. And you hate Arizona. Oh, okay.
I had Utah last, but that's
fine. Did you really?
Oh, sure.
They were a better team than Cal and Arizona last year.
Oh, really? I thought this was a BYU show.
I thought this was a talk realistically about football show.
No, okay. Of those four teams, the worst one's Arizona. That's easy.
Yes.
That one's easy. Now, Cal and Utah, somewhere in between Washington and Arizona. But Washington and Arizona, I feel like, are your definite bookends here.
Yeah, and quite Washington frankly,
is a pretty good team, and Arizona is awful.
Yeah, yeah. So Washington is is probably a top 15 team, and none of the rest of these teams may be top 50.
Right. But you right? Between but Cal and Utah, the order there, you can convince me either way.
Yeah, and one of them may pop and be decent next year, right? Certainly possible. So, Matt, what is our record in those four games? Way
one
too early.
Three.
I'm going to say 2-2.
No, I got us at 1-3.
We will definitely lose to Washington, and I think we will lose one of those other games. I do not believe we will lose to Utah this year.
You think we may lose to Arizona?
No, we'll beat Arizona. And we'll
oh,
beat
you have
Utah.
Us with two wins. You have us with two wins.
Correct.
Okay.
And then we'll lose to Cal. I don't know. Didn't Arizona just, you know,
get
a new coach?
Get smoked in their bowl game against Purdue?
What happened to Rich Rod? Did he get fired?
It was an interesting game.
Did he get fired?
Are you really asking this question?
No, I'm not really asking this question. So he chose
to step down.
Yeah, and take a lot of money with him. Anyway, Matt, we'll see how that plays out. But here's what we're gonna do. This is our preseason prediction of every game. Are you ready? Preseason. Okay.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's a thing. I just made
That's
it.
That's a
thing.
Lot of pre's. That's just, a lot of pre's.
Just like you made climb on in, hashtag climb on in a thing. I'm making preseason a thing. All right.
I don't see that. I don't see that catching
it's
on.
It's catching on. Hashtag preseason. Sweep of the nation. All right.
Just doesn't have the same ring to it.
At Arizona, Matt.
That's a win.
That's a win. I agree. All right. Cal at home.
That's a loss.
I am saying a loss. At Wisconsin. That's a loss. Wisconsin's going to win the national championship next year. I'm not joking.
So that's a loss in Camp Randall.
How did they look in their bowl game, Wisconsin? If Hornibrook puts it together, like he looked great against us last year, of course so did every other quarterback, including former linebackers. If he puts it together and plays as an elite type of quarterback, Matt, they're going to have a great defense again, good running game. They're going to be tough to beat. McNeese State, that's a win, right?
Yeah, that's a win.
At Washington, loss.
Yep.
So at that point, we are 2-3. People are calling for Satake to get fired, right?
At that point, yes. Yes,
Utah
they are.
Utah State and Provo, that's a win.
Yep.
Hawaii at home, that's a win.
Win, baby.
All right, win streak. Now this one's tough, Matt. Northern Illinois is decent. It's in Provo. Based on last year, I'm going with a loss.
I'm actually taking a win here.
Big homer. All right. At Boise State, that's a loss.
Yep.
At UMass, despite what happened this past year, I'm going with a win.
Yeah, we're not going to lose. Come on.
And you and I will be there, right, at Gillette Stadium?
Oh, I can't believe that's the plan, isn't it?
All right.
In Foxborough.
In Foxborough, right next to Boston. Not even close. Why am I talking in British accent? Doesn't even make sense.
What you just did was very strange.
It was very strange. New Mexico State, that's a win.
Yep.
At Utah, I am saying win.
I'm taking a loss.
All right, so we're both saying the same amount of wins. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we're both... We're saying 7-5, going and a bowl game. We're bowling.
I have us at 7-5, but I think we very easily become 6-6. I could flip flop on NIU and Boise State.
You said we were going to lose against Boise State.
Oh, then I'm sorry. I could flip on NIU.
In
your face. And so.
And we don't have a bowl. We don't have a bowl game set up, right, for 2018.
Of course not.
Matt, this schedule looks just as tough as our schedule from from 2017. And similar and to what we did in 2016.
And it's got the same front load problem.
Yes, it has a similar front load. I don't think the front load problem is as bad this time, but it's not good.
No, it's not as bad, I guess, right?
Maybe it is as bad.
Cal is at home. Cal's at home. Utah State's at home.
Yeah, but you've got Washington.
Wisconsin in Camp Randall. Washington in Seattle.
You have you could have, depending on how good Washington is next year, you could have two top 10 teams on the road.
By the end of September.
By the end of September, yes.
Nightmare.
That's not good. So, Matt, why don't you... You sent me a text earlier this week that I thought would be good for a discussion here. So why don't you climb on in the tweet bag with your own tweet bag question?
Well, I thought it was interesting. I reflected on the following. In 2010, this is one of these things that popped up in my Facebook feed. This is something I posted was it 7 years ago yesterday? Okay, so in January of 2010, the following was true. BYU was one of only seven programs to be ranked in the final coaches poll each of the previous four seasons, joining Florida, USC, Texas, Penn State, Ohio State, and Virginia Tech. They were also among seven schools to finish in the final AP rankings each of the previous 4 years, along with Florida, USC, Texas, Ohio State, Virginia Tech, and West Virginia. At the time, BYU was the lone non-BCS program to finish in the nationally ranked each of the previous four seasons. We were the only one. When you were talking about expansion and all this in 2010, we were the only program that made any sense. We're the only program that had been consistently ranked among the likes of all those schools that I just listed. And we had finished ranked each of the previous 4 years.
So Matt, how many times in BYU history have we finished ranked 4 years in a row?
I don't know the answer to that, but I bet you do.
Once.
Look, and that's when it was.
We have done it. The best stretch, of course, is 79 to 85, where we were ranked. 77 to 85, where we were ranked. During those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seasons, we were ranked 7 of 9, right? So the streak thing is a little weird. I mean, that was the best stretch. You could make an argument. I don't think you're actually making much of, I don't think it's really that much of a stretch, that the second best stretch in school history might be 06 to 09. Right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there were better teams, like your beloved 1996 team, and obviously the three-year stretch where Detmer was the starter was also a really good stretch. So that those you can make some arguments there. My point is, though, you asked what has changed. So, Matt, what has changed since the 2009 season?
What the crazy variable here is, and I'm not saying causation here yet. But the big variable is independence.
Yes, that is the big variable. Yes, that is the big variable. I mean, you are correct. I don't believe it's, at least it's not, I think it's correlated. I don't know if it's causation.
Well, I think it's a little more nuanced than that, right? So
right.
if you look at the schedules we're playing, I think you would find that the schedules we're playing, say, in 2017 and 2018 are more difficult than the schedules we were playing during that stretch. But during that stretch, I mean, don't forget, it was that stretch that we had the opener against Oklahoma and games like that where we won.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, you weren't looking at the type – you might not have been looking at the same gauntlet of teams – that we seem to be doing now to open up our seasons, but we had some big wins against notable programs in that period of time. And that was also, you know, that was a little bit of the golden age of, you know, of some of the teams we were playing, right? Like a TCU and a Boise State. But right. we were taking care of business against the teams that we should beat.
Yeah. Yeah, we certainly were. You know, you look at those schedules in, you know, let's take the last time we won a conference championship. Okay, so 2007. All right. Because remember, we finished ranked in 2009 and 2008 and did not win the Mountain West Conference. Okay, so keep that in mind. 2007, Arizona at UCLA at Tulsa, and then the conference schedule, which was a mixed bag. There were some decent teams in there. We had Eastern Washington, obviously, in the middle of it, and then had the bowl game against UCLA. So we played UCLA twice that year and split with them. That's not – we are playing tougher schedules today, right? Like, it's not that was a terrible schedule, but we're playing a tougher schedule today as an independent than we were playing back then. You know, so that's, I mean, but it wasn't a terrible schedule, right? I mean,
I don't think the difference between the difficulty in the two schedules is miles.
No, I agree. It's not miles. It seems like it is, but the problem is the schedules were way different in that right now it's like this, you know, you've got four or five really, really good teams and then a bunch of bad teams, right? And back then it was like you had more of the one or two really good teams and then a group of mediocre teams and then some bad teams, right? Like, we don't play as many mediocre teams today as we did when you had some of those mediocre Mountain West teams to play. Now,
you play like an Oklahoma, UCLA, a couple of these other programs up front. But then your conference schedule included teams that had good years in that stretch. You know, even your hated San Diego State, but definitely TCU.
They've never been good in the history of years that we lost to
TCU, that was considered an okay loss.
Oh, those
on a couple of occasions, right?
In some of those years, TCU was statistically the best team we played.
Right. So, but I think that all kind of speaks to your point, right? Where here we've got more of a dumbbell on the spectrum here. We've got teams that are really, really good and teams that really aren't. We're not very much in the middle, where you had maybe played one, maybe two less games a year against some of these top-notch opponents, but then you spent the rest of your schedule in the middle of the pack for the most part.
Yeah, so here's the thing. This is my bold prediction, okay? Here's my bold prediction. And by the way, we were last ranked by the Associated Press in 2015. Okay, that's the last time we broke in to the top 25 during that season. As an independent, we were ranked and we broke in, three of those seasons so far. Obviously never finished in there. 5 years from now, we're in a conference, Matt. We're not independent.
I don't even think that's that bold.
I mean, I don't believe it will be a Power 5 conference.
It will not be a Power 5 conference.
I think when realignment comes, and it will, I don't know how big it will be. I think we're looking on the outside in, and I think we're either in the American Conference or we've formed some other conference with some of the Mountain West teams and some other folks that are trying to do something a little bigger.
I think you get the top Mountain West teams, the top American teams, and you make a new conference. And the argument against it will be, now we're all just going to beat each other up. But it's the only way you're going to try to put together a schedule that's going to make a statement that's going to get you anywhere. Now, so, I don't even know if it'll work.
It's not. It won't work. It won't matter, really. Because, you know, UCF was undefeated. They didn't even get into the top 10, right?
National champs.
Do you have any
great everything?
Do you have any issue with them calling themselves the national champs? I don't care.
It is what it is, right? I mean, they can kind of do whatever they want. I think this is more about making a point than anything else.
So let me rephrase. BYU goes undefeated, doesn't get into the college football playoff, has basically the same season UCF does, and BYU prints 2017 national championship t-shirts. Are you buying one?
No, I'm not, and I'd be a little embarrassed.
I'm totally buying one. Would you be embarrassed to be seen with me?
Are we talking about generally, just in general, or just when you're wearing?
No, doesn't have anything to do. Those are two. No, separate
look, when you're BYU, you shouldn't have to do that because you've been there before, right? You've been nationally ranked. You've played in big bowl games. Shoot, you won a national championship once upon a time, as controversial as it may be to some corner of the planet. But I mean, you're UCF. It definitely is, looking back, it's the best football season you've ever had. It may be the best football season you will ever have. So, yeah, you milk it.
Yeah, you milk it. So Jeremy Ashton, we'll transition to the college football playoff. He sent us an email. It's a little long, Jeremy, for me to read the whole thing, so I won't. I will sum up, all right? Basically, he says he's not a big fan of the going to an eight-team playoff, because, quite frankly, the Power 5 schools aren't going to let anybody else in, and I completely agree with him. He says college basketball is fun because teams like Gonzaga have a realistic chance of being a national champion, right? And Gonzaga had a shot last year, right? And Butler. I mean, we've got other examples besides Gonzaga. Yes, there's a handful of college basketball teams that dominate, but the other teams still have a shot, and it's fun to root for the underdog. The only true underdogs when it comes to college football is every team not one of the P5 conferences. So no matter who wins the college football playoff, SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, once again, he was kind of actually rooting for the SEC. Maybe I just need to find a team to root for in one of the P5 conferences. Suggestions for my new P5 team, Purdue. Jump on the bandwagon now, Jeremy.
Yeah, get on now. You want to buy low so that you
buy low.
Because if you jump on a team that's good already, everybody sees right through that. You jump on Purdue right now, there's some bright days ahead, my friend.
Yeah, I would have said like Wisconsin 3 or 4 years ago, but you're too late now.
Right.
I don't know. Jeremy, where do you live? You could just, if you're in Utah, I'm sorry, you're out of luck. Matt, here's the thing. The 18 playoff, when you and I have talked about it, it has nothing to do with bigger access for the non-P5 schools. I just think it's a cooler way to pick a champion. I don't. It's still going to be the SEC and ACC and Big Ten and Big 12, and I'm not even going to mention the other conference because apparently they're terrible at football now. You know what I mean? Like that's what it's about. It's this year UCF. I still don't think makes an 18 playoff. I don't think they get in.
Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but I think you remove most of the controversy that way. And it's another week of college football playoffs, guys. Why would we not want that?
Somehow they'd figure out a way to mess it up. They'd somehow have a bowl game after it or something.
I wouldn't even have a problem with an all-SEC conference national championship game if we had an 8-team playoff.
Sure. So Dr. Nick Nicholas Nelson on Facebook has this to say: watching the college football title game, I was amazed at how easily both Alabama and Georgia were able to drastically change their offenses when needed. Several of my friends during the game commented that Kalani should be taking notes. My initial reaction was exactly the opposite. The BYU will never have the talent, depth, and army of coaches and analysts needed to pull that off. After thinking about it a bit, I'm less certain than I was. Is BYU likely to be better trying to dramatically adjust and adapt to opponents, or take more of the do what we do approach and just be good at something? So Matt, Dr. Nick asks a good question. I'll take the first crack at this one because I've been thinking a lot about it since I read it earlier today. Here's the thing. There is no doubt that both Georgia and Alabama have incredible talent on their rosters, right?
Correct.
There's no doubt. No one's going to argue about
that, right? I mean, they've got the best, right? Yes. I mean, they get the best.
They get the best, and Kirby Smart has done a tremendous job recruiting to Georgia, because that wasn't true for Georgia 10 years ago. Right?
Right. Kirby Smart, as it turns out, is actually very smart.
Yes. Okay. Very.
That's, and Georgia's going to be good for a long time now.
Georgia is going to be good for a long time. Okay? But let's go to the last last year the rankings of the recruiting classes, okay? Last year, all right? This is teams in the top 15 of last year's recruiting class that weren't that great this year, okay? Tennessee, were they a top 15 team this year? This was 2017 rankings, and we could go back to 2016. It'd be about the same, okay?
Negative, they were not.
What about Florida? They're all right. Texas A&M?
Pretty good.
Pretty good, but they weren't one of the elite teams. LSU? Yeah, they were pretty good, right?
Pretty good. You know,
Florida State had kind of a disastrous season, despite having a ton of talent on the roster. If you go down further, Clemson is typically not a top 20, is not a top 10 recruiting class. Interesting. Okay. Washington outdoes their recruiting class. Texas used to be one of the top recruiting classes, and then they fell off the freaking planet. Now they are not. Also up on the list, Michigan, obviously Georgia, now one of the best, Ohio State, USC, Oklahoma near the top. The reason I say all these things is it's not just about talent. It is a lot about talent, by the way. But the ability to make those adjustments, it helps if you have a guy like Tua who can come in and do that, who is, you know, one of the best quarterbacks coming out of high school. It also, you have to make the decision on what plays to run with him as quarterback. Somebody right. has to make those decisions. And I'll tell you what, if it's not Nick Saban's staff, you take some of the other staffs I just mentioned that underperform relative to their recruiting rankings, and the answer is no, they don't. They lose to Georgia that day, even with the same talent. Do you disagree?
No, I absolutely agree.
I don't understand. You know, I get what Dr. Nick was saying, that, you know, to make these adjustments. I think Kalani Sitake and his staff should be taking notes. And I hope that's what Jeff Grimes helps bring, is this attitude of, we're not just going to, this is not Remember the Titans. Our offense or defense should not be Novocaine, and it never adjusts to what is happening on the field. That we just run the plays we're going to run.
We're never going to be in a position to say, do what Navy did to Virginia to anybody all the time.
And if you want to commit to that, I'm not actually totally against it. If you decided to commit to that, we have been unwilling to commit to it so far. But the other part is you have to change how you recruit, right? Then you recruit very specific players and you ignore everybody else, right? If you're Navy, now obviously they have reasons to do it. You ignore other players, right? If you wanted to run a Navy system, you could do it at BYU. You just wouldn't. There'd be a bunch of quarterbacks. You don't spend your time, right, trying to recruit like some of the quarterbacks we're trying to recruit today, right? You could do it. I just think you've got to try to take that attitude of, we're going to be the best coach team that we play that year.
Well, and I think that's where the bulk of college football is going today, is into this. You know, you take a look at what you have in terms of talent. You take a look at what your team is doing, and you adapt. You know, taking, you know, basically those two things into account, and that's what everybody's doing. You know, the game has started to evolve at the college level, and so in a really interesting way, right? You had this with the advent of the spread and some of these other things, and then there was Wildcat stuff where people are like, oh, well, people are going to be doing that all the time, and nobody does that all the time. It's a change of pace tactic, right? But people have, the game has evolved and continues to evolve at the college level across the board. And I think if you're going to be successful, you need to be able to do that on the micro plane, right? You've got to be able to do that in game, between quarters, between halves, and make adjustments to what you're doing and have personnel that are ready to do that. You know, in Saban's case, He put in another quarterback. He put in another quarterback because they weren't going to be able to move the ball on the ground. He knew they were going to have to throw the football. And this guy was better at throwing the football than Hurts. So we put him in. You know what's crazy is that sack in overtime, kid gets sacked for like a 20-yard loss. And I turned to my son and I said, wow, George is going to do this. There's no way a freshman quarterback recovers from that sack. And then he throws that bomb into the end zone.
Yeah, right? Throws an absolute rope.
But that bomb into the end zone was why he was in the game. Saban didn't care about the sack. because he wasn't, that's not, he was in the game because he could throw and overcome things like that, right? So, yes. But you have to know your personnel and be prepared with your game planning to make those adjustments on the fly.
So how good was that game last night?
It was amazing. Great game.
It was amazing.
Great game to watch.
And as much as I love Herb Street and Fowler, on his interception, why wasn't the discussion about the fact that he totally did not know what the play was? Right? Everybody was blocking. Every receiver downfield was facing away from him blocking when he threw the ball. Like, something went...
There was clearly a miscommunication,
they didn't,
right?
They didn't even mention it. Herb Street said, oh, well, the guys were turned around, and then he should have thrown it away. Yeah, he should have thrown it away, but I mean, it wasn't even a passing play, right? Or it was supposed to be some type of quick screen. You know, because I thought when he threw the ball, the other thought I had was, why aren't they throwing it for offensive pass interference? Right? Like, every single eligible wide receiver is making contact with the defense. You know? It didn't matter because they got the INT, right? But the other call I was going to ask you about is, how do you feel about a guy throwing a punch on the field, trying to hit his coach, and then later making a tackle?
He should have. I don't understand what he was doing in the stadium at that point.
I don't either. That one was really, like, he should have been thrown out of the game for throwing a punch, right? Isn't that a rule?
Yeah.
I thought that was a rule. And he definitely threw a punch. Like, there's absolutely no doubt. Now, punching people with helmets on is kind of dumb. But, you know, he threw a punch. And then he takes a swing at, was it a coach or a staff member? I don't know who it was. He missed. But he was trying to throw another punch, wasn't he?
Yeah, the whole thing was crazy, right? And I saw an exchange on Twitter. So I was like, yeah, he's good, so he won't be punched. The guy was a backup linebacker and a special teams player.
Yeah, he's not. Like,
you could live without this guy.
And he did make a great tackle on that kickoff. I mean, it was like,
yeah, but you know, but that tackle was, it was weird though, right? Like, it was the running back. It looked almost like a clothesline, right? But it's like the running back stopped. You know, and you shouldn't run standing that straight up and down, but. It was weird.
Yeah,
the whole thing was very weird.
The whole thing
looked a little bit WWE like to me. Like, oh, yeah. I got clotheslined. I have to fall down now.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. So Matt, let's do way too early Final Four college football playoff for next year.
Okay? Oh, fantastic!
Are you ready for this?
Okay. Oh yeah, I'm absolutely unprepared for this.
So we'll go with the four teams that were in first, and you tell me if from this year. If they're going to be back, okay?
All right.
Bama.
Nope.
Really? I think they're in, man.
SEC's catching up to Bama, dude.
But didn't you hear about, I mean, all they could talk about, Herb Street and Fowler, was how many freshmen were playing for Bama.
Hurts is going to transfer. This Tua kid, I mean, maybe he's really good. Maybe he's not.
Well, remember we saw this with who's the quarterback that did this for Ohio State at the end of the year's freshman year?
Yep. This is the exact example that my son brought up at the end of the game.
I mean, just because he had this great half does not mean he's a great quarterback, though he looked pretty good. Georgia.
But the one thing working in Alabama's favor, though, real quick, is that their schedule is extremely favorable.
Yes, that is correct. And if they go undefeated and lose in the SEC championship game and have the one loss, they're still in. I think that's been proven, right?
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere. They're going to have to get beat twice to not be in it. So, so Bama, you're saying no. I'm saying yes. Georgia.
Georgia's in.
I'm saying no. They got lucky this year in a couple games. Beat Notre Dame when maybe they shouldn't have. Had one other game. I think they slip next year. And
I think Georgia really and Alabama meet in Atlanta again.
I think that is true.
And play for the SEC championship.
And I think Bama beats them and Georgia goes to two or three losses. And is out. All right, so Clemson. I don't think we'll see Clemson next year.
I want to say yes, but you're probably right.
Oklahoma, absolutely not.
Nope.
This was their window to win a national championship. It may come around again, but this was the year for them. Okay, so let's talk about a few other teams that were highly ranked. Ohio State.
I think Ohio State's in.
I do not.
I know where you think.
Wisconsin.
Nope.
I'm saying Wisconsin is in. So you've got Ohio State, Alabama. You've got Ohio State, Georgia, so far, right? And I've got Wisconsin and Alabama. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Clemson, we both said no, right?
Right.
Penn State, we're both saying no.
Right.
Oklahoma, we already said no. Auburn, no.
Nope.
Notre Dame, interesting pick.
Nope.
I think you're right. I'm not gonna pick Notre Dame. TCU.
Yes.
Oh, dang it! I was hoping you were gonna say no. That was my third, was TCU.
Yeah.
Washington?
Nope.
No. Florida?
Nope. No.
USC? I'm going to say yes. That's my fourth, is USC. I think Sam Darnold.
I'm going to say no. Darnold, is he declared? Think he goes back? I think it depends.
Has he declared? I don't think he's declared yet.
I don't know.
Let's see. News for Sam Darnold. No, he has not declared yet. Though he is, Colin Cowherd thinks he is a perfect fit for the Browns, which I don't know. I don't know that you could. Oh, no, Darnold did declare.
There it is.
Okay, yep. Never mind. I'm not taking USC.
That's why, yeah, you can't take USC.
No, I'm taking USC. Patrick, the Ewing theory. Picking USC. I'm going to stick with my pick. So okay. Who's your fourth? Stanford? Miami. Oh, okay. All right. Interesting. It'll be interesting. And by the way, there's a very good chance that we're only right on like one of those four teams that we picked.
Oh, if I'm right on more than one of those, I'm going to feel like I did pretty well here today.
Anyway. All right, Matt. Well, that's been a show. And I think Colin Cowherd would say we're also a perfect fit for the Browns.
Yikes.
How does he still have a job?
I don't know. He got out of ESPN just in time.
Or did ESPN get away from him just in time? I don't know. Yeah,
probably a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. But anyway, we'll be back next week to talk hoops. I'm sure there'll be football stuff to talk about. We can talk about the NFL playoffs, which we didn't really talk about any this week. And go Kyle Van Noy and the New England Patriots. You know, all BYU fans, you have to root for the Patriots. I'm sorry, you just have to.
Yeah, anybody, I question the BYU fandom of anybody who says that.
Kyle Van Noy, have you ever heard of him?
Because that's what I do. I question people's fandom.
Yeah, we do that all the time on the show. We're always questioning fandoms. Only if you root for San Diego State or Stanford.
There you go. That sounds about right.
Or Wyoming. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you guys for downloading and listening. If you have not done so already, subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can get it delivered to your favorite device or through another podcast player every week. You can, as I mentioned before, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!